اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء، وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء، وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء، وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء، وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء، وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء، وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء، وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء، وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء، وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء. اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته. اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكروبك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي كم من قبيح سترت وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلت وكم من عثار وقيت وكم من مكروه دفعت وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرت. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا، وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي، من لي غيرك؟ أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي، أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك، وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك، وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي، معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا، لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني، ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري وفكني من شد وثاقي. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي. يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، حبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي. يا إلهي وسيدي وربي، أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك، وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك، ولهج به لساني من ذكرك، واعتقده ضميري من حبك، وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك، هيهات، أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته أو تبعد من أدنيته أو تشرد من آويته أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة، وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة وبشكرك مادحة، وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة، وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا ما هكذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل مكثوه يسير بقاؤه قصير مدته فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين ولأنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين يا غاية آمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي، فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك ولا المعروف من فضلك ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك، فباليقين أقطع لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما، لكنك تقدست أسماؤك أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين، وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما، أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبتم وكل قبيح أسررت وكل جهل عملت كتمته أو أعلنت أخفيته أو أظهرت وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفره أو خطأ تستره. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورة وبخدمتك موصولة وأعمالي عندك مقبولة، حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا، وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي، يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. قو على خدمتك جوارحي، واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي، وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك، حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين، وأسرع إليك في البارزين، وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين، وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين، وأخافك مخافة الموقنين، وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين. اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأريد، ومن كادني فكيد، واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك، وأقربهم منزلة منك، وأخصهم زلفة لديك، فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك، وجد لي بجودك، واعطف علي بمجدك، واحفظني برحمتك، واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا، وقلبي بحبك متيما، ومن علي بحسن إجابتك، وأقلني عثرتي، واغفر زلتي، فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك، وأمرتهم بدعائك، وضمنت لهم الإجابة، فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي، وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي، فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي، وبلغني مناي، ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي، واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي، يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا. اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فعال لما تشاء، يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء. ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء. يا سابغ النعم يا دافع النقام يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام يا عالم لا يعلم. صل على محمد وآل محمد وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله. وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. We congratulate the brothers and sisters on the occasion of the birth of our great Imam Hassan ibn Ali al-Askari, Salamullah alayhima. The father of our living Imam, Ajalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. And we pray that this blessed occasion is an occasion that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala blesses all people, especially with ridding us of this pandemic and the difficulties that all of us are dealing with, inshallah, by providing us through the believers, inshallah. We hope that the believers, mu'mineen, muslimin, are the ones who are able to find it, the right cure, inshallah. One of the points to remember in regards to Imam Hassan al-Askari, salamullah alayh, is the short period of imama that he had. I think we've mentioned this before in the context of the shahada of that imam on the 8th of Rabi'ul Awwal, that it's worthy of notice that the period of imama of the imam is apparently 4 or 5 years, perhaps 6 maybe, based on the different accounts that I can remember. I didn't recently look this up. 4, 5, 6 max. No longer than 6 years, for sure. This is, as far as I can remember, the shortest period of imamah that we have in and amongst the imams. None of the imams led the ummah for only 6 years. Although we have an imam that lived for a shorter period, Imam al-Jawad was martyred at age 25, and Imam Hassan al-Askari was martyred at age 28. However, Imam al-Jawad became an imam at age 8, so he had many more years than his great-grandson or his grandson, Imam Hassan al-Askari, salamullah alayhi, who had only maximum of 6 years of imam. What I want to say in regards to that, there's plenty of things that should be discussed and lot of things that we can think of. Once we consider something of importance, we start spending time thinking about it, and that will yield, and it will produce results. It will give us, it will teach us things once we think about the right points to think about and consider them important. One of the things I saw, both regarding the short period of life, he only lived for 28 years, yet he is one of the 12 imams after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 28 years he only lived. And during 4 years or 5 or 6 years of that, he carried on his shoulders the burden of leading mankind. The effects of the imam of an imam are not limited to his time in this world, in this material realm, his physical life. But those 6 years or so, he affected and impacted mankind in ways that no other than they, these 12 imams after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have. The one thing we can, very basic fact that we can take from this, I saw the leader had made this point, and I think it was a very legitimate point, is to see how a person at such a young age can accomplish so much. It tells us that we don't have to wait for an older age. We don't have to wait for anything. We can, at a very young age, accomplish things that many of those who have lived much longer have not been able to. Well, this is generally a lesson that we can learn from the imams, specifically from Imam Hasan al-Askari. In such a short period of time, besides his age, during 4 to 6 years between those times, maximum of 6 years, the impact is significant enough that those 6 years are dedicated to one imam. Again, I'm not saying what exactly he accomplished. There's a lot that needs to be discussed, maybe Saturday night, because we have that night, inshallah, for discussing that, or this occasion of the birth of Imam Hasan al-Askari as well. Perhaps we can talk about some of the developments that happened over the course of these 6 years or so. The point is, whatever it was significant enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include that as part of the period of the imams and include him as one of the 12 imams. Considering that, it tells us these two things. Over a short period of time, whomever, this is for young and old, one can accomplish things that are unparalleled. And the first thing that was mentioned is this, that young people can accomplish things that are great. Both of these are very important lessons, very extremely important lessons. The lesson for the youth, for those of us who have younger ages, I'm slowly moving out of that myself, but it's something for all of us to encourage that generation. Youth are the future of the ummah. In every generation, the one is going to be thinking of things, the way they're going to be looking at themselves, the way they're going to be looking at the future. One of the most important things that can happen for the progress of the ummah, the Islamic ummah, the Muslimin worldwide, is for the youth to take themselves seriously, to know that they can accomplish things that no one expected them to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless. And outside of the ma'sumin, we've seen this, those who followed this example. We've seen youngsters in their early teens accomplish things that 60, 70-year-olds didn't.
in terms of understanding, in terms of spiritual wayfaring, instead of in terms of spiritual progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of martyrdom, knowingly, willingly treading that path. One of the figures, we got to look at, the Quran tells us to look at the shuhada, learn from the shuhada. All of the imams are shuhada. The Holy Prophet is the prophet of shuhada. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. We look at some of those who follow those, that example, and see how some have been able to look at these examples and learn from them. And hopefully we can learn from that as well. Some of the shuhada that we are all aware of. One of the figures that we've all heard of is Hajj Imad Mughniya. May Allah bless his soul. This great commander that the Israelis were so angry at. Similar to Hajj Qasim, they had to go directly take him out in Syria in the ways they did. But the time in which he was able to make all those accomplishments, don't look at his gray hair in the later pictures, but his accomplishments are when he's in his late teens, early 20s. That's when he's made those great accomplishments. And he's entered that realm where no one knew him as Hajj Imad Mughniya. They knew him as Hajj Ridwan. He went underground in terms of his identity and making all that progress, planning all of what they did that defeated the Israelis. Someone in their late teens, early 20s. Doing jihad fi sabilillah. In so many different ways. This is not just picking up a gun. No, there's a lot of planning, a lot of intelligence. There's a lot of work that was done. A lot of our great shuhada are like this. Our youth can look at these examples and see how they did their jihad fi sabilillah in their context. In their context, their jihad fi sabilillah was that they had an invasion going on. The youth of Lebanon at that point saw that invasion. They went forward, they fought. The youth of Syria in the Syrian conflict, the youth of Iraq when Daesh attacked, they all went, they saw that. That was their jihad. They went forward, they did what they did. They didn't say that we are young, and they accomplished things that are hard to imagine. All those who know these matters and have looked into them are surprised at the accomplishments that these people at their ages, without the trainings that all these advanced military intelligence officers and so on have gone through, without any of that, they've been able to accomplish so much more than even them. They have defeated all of those strategists in such young ages. Their jihad was that. Our jihad here, we don't have that invasion. We've come here, we have another type of invasion that's happening. The type of invasion that we're dealing with is an ideological invasion. The warfare we're dealing with is ideological. It's the war of ideology, the war of beliefs, the war of making your stance based on the Quran and based on the teachings of the Holy Prophet, making them known to others, having firm grounds. They attack you on those foundations. They want to remove those beliefs from you and from all Muslimin. They want to change the essence of Islam from a belief that revolves around Tawheed, which is the oneness of God, the oneness of Rabb. There's only one Rabb, and the oneness of the one who tells us what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do, our value system and everything. It's based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. This is what Islam is. Al-Islam huwa taslim. Islam is submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want you to carry the title, the name, the word Islam with you and call yourself a Muslim. But then in essence, what Islam and what being a Muslim means is simply that name. You can do what Islam says. You may choose not to. It's up to you. You have a Muslim that prays, that fasts, that wears hijab, that doesn't drink, that eats halal. And you have a Muslim that's called a Muslim, doesn't do any of the above. They're still Muslim. Why? They identify as Muslim. And as Muslimin, you've got to consider all of these to be as Muslim. So what is Islam? Nothing. It's just a title. You choose to call yourself Muslim, you're Muslim. You want to be a Muslim, you want to call yourself homosexual, you want to be considered homosexual, it's fine, you're still a Muslim. Muslimin should consider that person a Muslim. What is Islam? Nothing. It's just a title, similar to what they're trying to push regarding all religions. They started that with Judaism. The Jews started that. The fusaq of the Jews, of course. The fasiqeen of the Jews started that with Judaism. What was left of Judaism? Nothing. Just right now is just an ethnicity. It's a race. Okay. You're a Jew. You're atheist Jew. You have liberal Jews. You're homosexual Jews. Well, it's clear. The law of God against homosexuality was not revealed in Islam. It was revealed at the time of Ibrahim. Lut was one of the followers of Ibrahim, according to the Quran. Lived at his time. God sent down this message that this is wrong. Those were the first people as a people to get involved in this wrong act, in this evil deed. The rule against this act of same gender being together sexually, al-'ayadhu billah, this was wronged at the time of Ibrahim when it first appeared on earth. From the day it appeared on earth, Allah said, this is wrong, don't do this. It's not something that was introduced in Islam. You have in their so-called Israel, their the land of the Jews, they call it. They carry that name, Jewish. They're Jewish or Jews. And then what does that mean? Nothing, because you have gay parades in Tel Aviv and so on. What's left of Judaism? What is it? Ethnicity. It's an ethnic thing. It's a name you carry because of your lineage. That's not what Islam is. The war of ideology. If we want to keep our grounds, if we want to keep our territory, we don't want an invasion of our ideology. We've got to make sure Islam is what God says. The Quran is before us. God left us a book that He protects from all directions, as He says. There's nothing that can change this book. For 1400 years, the book has remained with us. No change has come to it. The book is what it was 1400 years ago. Every single word of it is before us. And it's, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is hudan linnas. This is tibyanu kulli shay. It clarifies everything. It's clear for all of us to look at. Look at the Quran. Look at what it says. These are the values of Islam. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something is good, then that is good. If it says something is bad, then it's bad. You can't be a Muslim and approve of homosexuality. You can't be a Muslim and approve of drinking. You can't be a Muslim and approve of having pork. You can't be a Muslim. No, if a Muslim does that out of their ignorance, or if they do that, they choose to do that, they are sinning. If they say, no, I'm a Muslim and I think this is right and Islam accepts this, I'm sorry, you left. That's not what Islam says. That is not what Islam says. You're gonna, if you want to accept Islam, if you want to be a Muslim, yeah. If you want to, if you're doing wrong, if you accept, yeah, Islam says to do this, but I'm not doing it. Okay, you're a good brother. Inshallah, we'll pray that you won't do that wrong either. But you want to say Islam says this is okay, or the Quran says it's not, and we're supposed to be accepting this. This is a serious battle that is happening right here. It is happening. Day in and day out. They want you to be a Muslim, then support the parties in this country. The parties who, this is a bipartisan policy of approving the killing of Muslimin. Democrats have killed Muslimin in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Myanmar, in Yemen, in Egypt, in Syria, in Lebanon, Sunni, Shia, everyone has been killed by the Democrats, by the Republicans. It doesn't make a difference. The Bosnian, the Muslimin in Bosnia, the horrific war in Bosnia during the Democrats' time. Bill Clinton, don't forget that war. A very ugly war that you don't hear much of. Because the ones who carried those atrocities were not Muslimin. They didn't blow it up on the media. What the Serbs did in Bosnia was nothing less short of what Daesh did in Syria and Iraq. It's just they didn't put it on video. I've heard from Bosnians who were there and saw what happened. In fact, some of the massacres are not even heard of in Iraq or Syria. The numbers of people that in one day were killed. Okay, you didn't even hear that in Iraq or Syria. Well, you don't hear too much. Why? Because the ones who did it identified as Christians. They didn't blow it up on the media. They want you to be a Muslim and consider it at least perfectly fine if you support either Democrats or Republican, this establishment that is responsible for the blood and the killing of so many Muslimin and non-Muslims, of course. Does Islam approve of that? Does the Quran say you can support them, take them as awliya, which is one of the instances of support of wilayah, is supporting them? Is this right? Does the Quran allow us? I want to make sure that you're okay. Whether you're in the Muslim lands or here, there's a huge ideological war that is happening, brothers and sisters. And the warriors, the ones that should be on the front lines of this battle, following the lead of the imams. The greatest war that every imam was part of was this ideological war. Imam al-Hussein went to the battlefield. There was a short one-day war that he fought in Karbala. Besides that, 10 years of imamah, it was all ideological war. Amir al-Mu'mineen, there were three battles that he fought during his time. If you put all those days together out of the 5 years, it doesn't take over most of his imamah. He was involved in those conflicts, but the war itself in the battlefield, no, it was just a few days for this. Maybe the longest one was about 6 months in Safin. Even that wasn't continuous fighting for 6 months. The battlefield, even in Safin, much of the war was not in the battlefield with the sword. Much of it was ideological. And the people identifying what Islam says. Muawiyah brought people against Amir al-Mu'mineen in the name of Islam, and in the name of taking the avenging the blood of the third Khalifa and blaming it on Ali ibn Abi Talib, which he had nothing to do with that death. It's ideological. The war was lost ideologically. Who are the warriors that should follow the lead of the imams in this ideological war? The youth are. The youth are, and they should not underestimate their abilities if, as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as believers in the Quran, believers in the Holy Prophet, believers in the imams, believers in Imam Hassan al-Askari, we do what the best of what we are capable of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in tansurullah yansurkum. We will have instances of these youth that will make accomplishments in this war here and across the globe that are again going to cause those observers seeing their accomplishments to be amazed and surprised at their great accomplishments despite their young age. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us be some of those. It is an honor and privilege to be of the soldiers of the 12th Imam. Those who want to be soldiers of the 12th Imam, right now there is that war that's happening and he is part of it. And we can be part of it as well if we choose to. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam of our time, that he hastens the return of our Imam. We ask him to help us be of the true and close companions of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. Relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. Relieve all mankind of this pandemic. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alihi rahimallahu man qara'a al-fatihah.